WMY Watsonville at 6 minutes past noon.
And now, KSCO presents Dr. Bill Wattenberg. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Wattenberg today, give us a telephone call at area code 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, Dr. Bill Wattenberg.
Well, here we go. KSCO presents 2 hours of talk radio for you from the South Bay, the Great Bay Area, all of the Monterey Bay Area, Central Coast, San Joaquin Valley. You're listening to the powerhouse AM 1080 station that gives you some talk radio when you use it. Come in here. Get in here in a hurry. And we'll have you on the air. Now, right now, I'm listening to something in the background. You know what I think? I think I did a dumb thing. I was streaming a program on the computer, and I left it going with the volume down. All right, I just killed it. Well, look, I have a few things to talk to you about today. At the top of the list, I want to talk to the students here, UC Santa Cruz. About a month ago, 6 weeks ago, I started warning them and all the other UC campuses, campuses around the state, if they really want to do something about high tuition and the screw job they're getting, they must go to Sacramento, go after the people who are wasting the billions of dollars taken away from the university. Well, darn if they didn't take the first step. But they didn't follow through because the politicians always have a defense when you go up. They always blame someone else, or they always hide in their offices. You must go with a sign that says, you legislature, you governor, you do this, you close this agency right over here. You stop this budget right over here. Then you'll get your money back. And I can tell you, and I've been trying to tell you, where the money has been taken, where it's been wasted, where it's been stolen, and they laugh because you don't know. Well, I'll tell you where it is, and if you'll do a little homework, you're bright enough to be admitted to the University of California. That's what astounded me, that you didn't do some of this before. Sitting around and demonstrating and closing your own university, that's that's self-mutilation, you poor damn fools. The university doesn't have the money to give back to you. It's the people who stole the money from the university. Now, if you come in here and use this great radio station a little bit this afternoon, I'll tell you precisely several places you can go and signs you can hold up such that these legislators cannot turn the other way and claim they didn't know what to do. There's nothing they can do. It's somebody else's fault. I can tell you where they have hidden their friends and their campaign operatives over in state agencies for hundreds of millions of dollars worth of money taken away from the UC and the state college, the junior college system. I can tell you the names of at least two major or three major state agencies that are absolutely worthless, each one sucking up $1 billion. And these agencies are bloated with the friends and family members and campaign organizers of your friendly legislators. And the governor knows this. Come in here, I'll tell you where it is. And so the next time you demonstrate, you went halfway, let's go all the way. Go up there and get the money back for your university and back for you. And get tuition back where it used to be. Because when I walked into the University of California, Berkeley, 15 years old, out of the mountains, pair of boots and a Pendleton shirt and Levi's, the tuition was free. If you were able to be qualified and get admission, the tuition was free. And I believe that's where it should be for you. Okay, your number into this switchboard, 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. And anything else you may have on your mind that you think is important to this world, here's the place to do it. You know, I actually use this audience, this vast audience of KSCO Santa Cruz AM 1080 to check out ideas, to try things that I think might work on national radio, which I do on Sunday nights to the country. And sure enough, invariably, as I learned over years, the brightest and the best and some of the best educated are right in the listening audience of the station. from Silicon Valley south to the entire Monterey Bay area. So I'll have a couple for you here today. See what you think about them, but maybe you have some. If so, here's the place to start it. If you have a really brilliant idea, I'll be telling the nation about it next Sunday night, 8 to 11, on the Open Line to America. 831-479-1080. Now, one thing I forgot to tell you before. I am not a great art critic or movie critic or anything else, but every once in a while, I see one that is just a darn good feeling, okay? Very human and a good feeling. And I think there ought to be more of that in the media. In fact, this movie I'm going to tell you about, I really believe if Clint Eastwood had seen the script and knew it, he probably would have done it. Because he's done some very unique movies since he claimed he was going to retire, or told me he was 10 years ago. The name of this one, and you have to see it, very simple. The Vow. V-O-W. The Vow. No violence. No special effects. Just some real human beings. Young people. Young couple. Very unique script. Very thought-provoking storyline. And I guarantee you, when you sit and watch this movie by yourself or with your favorite, it's going to grab you. And it's going to give you a good feeling when you walk out of that studio. We need a lot more of that. We need a lot more of that. I look around to see where I can take my kids, a 7 and a 11-year-old, to the movies, and there's so few that aren't just packed with violence and nothing but special effects and stuff they see on TV at home or any place they want to go. But to find a movie like this one, matter of fact, I took them back after I saw it. I want them to see it. Okay. Well, here you are. I'm wondering whether our phone lines are down here again, as we had a little problem yesterday. 831-479-1080. Here's your chance to talk to the most important part of the world over KSCO Santa Cruz to the South Bay, Monterey Bay area. What'd you say there? Uh-oh, well, we're just being told here that we have calls and I have to reset a call screen program here. No wonder. I guess, you know, I should have thought of that because I suggested that they reset the system on their end before this show. And old dumb me, it didn't dawn on me. I would have to reset mine. So they just informed me there's some of you waiting, which, unfortunately, fellows in KSCO, I don't see on the call screen computer. So give me a name here. Jan, San Lorenzo Valley, you're on KSCO. Jan.
Hi, Dr. Wattenberg. I've been doing some reading from the website I told you you about before, freedomadvocates.org.
Yes.
And they talk about some funding sources for the sustainable development, you know, the ICLEI and
yes,
the
NOAA. We've been through this before, but is this something current or new from what they had on there?
Well, it talks about over 2,000 NGOs, which are non-governmental organizations.
Yes.
And I didn't realize they're accredited by the United Nations for the purpose of implementing sustainable development in America.
Oh, yeah, it's quite a system.
Mm-hmm. And they're given massive tax advantages. So, the UC students, there's a source of money here. You know, we have groups like the National Conservancy, the Sierra Club, the National Audubon, the American Planning Association, National Teachers Association, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and the U.S. Farm Bureau.
Yes, yeah. All of them get signed up. They get tax benefits. But invariably, if you take a look, then they apply for government grants and they get the taxpayers to support their agenda.
And they're accredited by the United Nations.
Oh, yeah. Well, the United Nations, they accredit anything. They really
That's
do.
Incredible.
I mean, they imagine themselves as running our country. No, Jan, I've been through this many, many times. But these non-governmental organizations, NGOs, are the biggest fraud around because they pretend to be not part of the government. What that really means is the government can't control them in their minds, but
yeah.
They in turn can get the government's money, in other words, the taxpayers' money. That's the gimmick.
We're paying for our own destruction in a way.
Well, we are in a way. Hey, appreciate your message there. How are your how are your stickers coming now? You're the one that cooked up the what was it?
Get far out sticker.
Get far out. Yeah, get far out. Yes. Okay.
We're having a lot of fun. Do you have a minute? I have an article about
Yeah, well, not
gas.
Too much. No, not too much longer here now. We got a lot of folks waiting. But what
okay.
is it? Just summarize it quickly.
In the Smithsonian Magazine, July, August of 2011, on page 2, Shell Oil has an article about natural gas written by Dennis Wamstead, saying that clearly the new day, it's a new day for natural gas. And it's because of the ability to draw new drilling abilities.
Yes.
Says in 2000, the U.S. produced essentially zero so-called shale gas, and now we have 2,170 trillion cubic feet.
Yep. No, look, the fracking process, the ability to drill into the shale, two combinations. One that I worked in, you can go see my patents in it. Mm-hmm. Directional drilling, the ability to go down and then start drilling horizontally sideways in star fashion in all directions. Plus, being able to fracture the shale has opened up a vast resource. In fact, it's going to open up and change the geology, the economics of this world, because suddenly even Europe may have big sources of natural gas instead of being under the thumb of Russia and China. And yeah. As well as here. So hey, you know, I'm familiar with his article story, and Shell has been out in the front of doing what I've been saying should be done for 3 years.
They have a website, too. I don't know if you want to. It's about one of their cars last year got 8,870 miles on the equivalent of 1 gallon of fuel. They didn't say
No. Wait a minute. I'm familiar with that one. Don't get taken by that. There's no one around that has a fuel that gives you 870 miles for a standard family car. You're off by...
No, this is a special car. They have a picture of it.
Yeah, it's a very special car. If anything, it's probably a paper airplane. All right, nice hearing from you, Jan. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Bill.
Okay, who's next in line here? All right, Shirley and Aptos. You can tell I'm getting a feed here now from the engineers in the studio. You're on KSCO, Shirley.
Oh, okay. It sounds like the same kind of question in a way. In the first place, I love your program, so thanks so much.
Thank you.
I've been getting bombarded by all the NGOs, Biological Diversity and Center for Biological, et cetera, and they got an emergency defense funds now that they're raising money to fight Shell for drilling in the Arctic.
Oh, yeah.
And I just need some counter arguments. Where to look up, because I know it's not true.
Well, sure they want to stop it. They want to stop us from drilling. They're part of the religious cult led by, unfortunately, the Secretary of Energy, the science advisor to Obama, and the Sierra Clubs and the others, that oil is evil. People who drive to work are evil. They must be stopped, must be punished at any price. And they'll say anything to stop drilling and exploring and developing our own resources.
And they say they stopped drilling since 2007.
They want to bankrupt this nation. They don't give a damn who they hurt. They're on public salaries. They consider themselves godlike. They walk on water. They're saving the world. Except they have no other alternative for working people. If they had the alternatives they promised, be a different story. They do not have them. They won't have them for 8 to 12 years minimum. So your best bet, best answer to them is say, well, if you think drilling in our territory is terrible, how come you don't object? Or you know we have to tell other countries to drill in their precious land, you know, in the deltas of Venezuela, Nigeria, rainforests.
But we're not going to rape the whole Arctic anyway. There was just a small part of it, right, that they're going to drill in?
You wouldn't even know we've been there after they've taken
That's
out
what
the
I
gas or
know.
Oil. The footprint is so small. But That's they lie this way. Mm-hmm. And you have to just tell them and prove to them right to their face, you're lying. Now, one thing you might do, you might find interesting. Go search or Google Canadian National Broadcasting System on ANWR, ANW. Uh-huh. They put out a delightful video showing what this place really looks like, comparing the size of it, showing what is done elsewhere in the world, showing what little damage you could possibly do, and laughing at the American so-called environmentalists and the lies they tell. Go search that. See if you can get
Canadian National Broadcasting.
Canadian National Broadcasting put it out, and probably just under the topic of any specials they've done on ANWR. And most college students and university students I've shown this to who were total suckers just sat there silently feeling embarrassed when they saw the truth, you know.
Oh, thank you. That's exactly what I wanted.
All right. You go after that. All right. Who's next up here on KSCO this morning? All righty. Well, your number, you better load up the switchboard, 831-479-1080.
Spring is just around the corner, which means it's time to get your RV and trailers ready to roll. Hi, I'm Rena Mills of RV Service Center of Santa Cruz, your locally owned RV parts and repair center with over 36 years of service to the Central Coast community. In addition to RV repairs, our qualified staff services and maintains boat, horse, and utility trailers and toy haulers. We also restore vintage RVs and work hand-in-hand with all insurance companies to ensure your RV is restored to its original condition. Get your RV and trailers ready to roll into spring with the help of your friends at RV Service Center. You'll find us easy to reach and easy to use at 2525 Mission Street, cross street of Mission and Swift in Santa Cruz, 831-427-0881, again, 427-0881, or you can email us at rvscsc.com.
Our local Red Cross responds to over 2 home fires every week here in the Monterey Bay Area, and electrical problems are a leading cause of home fires. Hello, I'm Chris Jensen with JM Electric. One cause of home electrical fires is degradation, which simply means that your electrical wiring and connections have become old and worn out. Prime conditions for starting a fire in your home. JM Electric's current safe inspection can determine if there is degraded wiring inside your walls. To see if your home can benefit from a current safe inspection, call JM Electric today for a free, no-obligation assessment, 422-7819, or jamelectric.com. Now a word from our friends at your local Red Cross.
Hello, I'm Rita Chick, CEO of the Santa Cruz County Chapter of the American Red Cross. There were 117 home fires in the Monterey Bay area last year and 70 similar disasters in Santa Cruz County. A lot of families needed our help. You can help them by donating your time and money to your Santa Cruz and Monterey County Red Cross chapters. We thank you, and your friends and neighbors thank you.
Hi folks, Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. We all have been given the Bill of Rights drafted by our forefathers. They gave us liberties and freedom basic to our American way of life. Well, I decided to create the Bill of Rights with the relation to your home. Your home has basic rights. It has the right to stand there proudly. Your home has the right to a leak-proof, fireproof roof. Your home has the right to be properly ventilated to avoid musty, trapped air and mold. Your home has the right to be insulated against the elements of heat or cold. Your home has the right to look nice, to stand tall and proud. Your home has the right to be protected by warranties and companies willing to be able to be there on a moment's notice. Your home has rights against insect and critter invasion. You know, if your home could talk, I'll bet its rights would be violated in some way or another. Here at Knox Roofing, we're here to defend your home's rights. Just give us a call at 461-0634. Okay, thanks, folks.
This portion of programming on KSCO is brought to you in part by RV Service Center of Santa Cruz, your locally owned RV parts and repair center in Santa Cruz. RV Service Center specializes in all RV insurance repairs and now offers service rebates equal to your insurance deductible. It's like you pay nothing. At RV Service Center, 2525 Mission, Santa Cruz. A proud member of Think Local First.
Okay, we're back to you on KSCO Presents. I'm Bill Wattenberg, your host. You're the stars of this program. When you pick up the telephone, you know, dial in to this switchboard. You're talking to millions out there who could be listening, hundreds of thousands tuned in at any given time. enormous increase in those who are listening on the internet around the country and the world. I get slugs of emails from people in every state of the country and around the world, as far as Australia, Finland, China. Here's a place you can send your voice out there. 831-479-1080. And we continue with Fred in Watsonville. You're on KSCO. Hey, Fred.
Dr. Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here. I got a question on LNG.
All right.
Considering.
You mean liquid natural gas? Liquid. It's called liquefied natural gas, yes.
Right.
Okay.
I'm considering purchasing a vehicle that set up a truck.
Well, that would, if it's a vehicle and it says LNG, it would mean propane or butane, most likely propane. Propane will stay liquid at normal temperatures under a little pressure. Natural gas will not. Natural gas, you don't liquefy natural gas unless you get it down to very, very extremely low temperatures.
That was my question.
Okay, so you want to check the fuel that this vehicle is using, but I can almost tell you for certain if it says liquid petroleum gas, it'll be propane.
I understand that, but this on the data plate that I can. This is an auction item. The data plate says it operates down to -270 degrees. Propane would freeze at that temperature.
Yeah, something's funny here. This is not a vehicle you're going to be running out on the road. I don't think this might be a commercial or factory vehicle. Liquefied natural gas, petroleum gas, is delivered in big tankers from overseas, and then it's stored, and then it's allowed to go back in the gaseous state to be pumped into the gas mains and lines. I don't know how you're going to pack it around in your vehicle unless you have a refrigeration unit, but I'd look out before you go bidding it and thinking you're going to drive it up and down the streets, huh? Look, Fred.
The only filling stations I can find are for CNG.
That's right, but that's completely different, Fred. I'm trying to tell you all I know. Look out. Go get the details. Make them describe to you exactly where you get the fuel and how you carry it, because you don't have a compressed natural gas vehicle. If it says liquid and low temperature, look out. You need a lot of apparatus for that, okay? All right, best I can do for you there, Fred. Asa in Live Oak, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hi, it's Asa.
Asa, I'm sorry, okay.
No, don't be sorry. Everybody's...
Well, I mispronounced it, and then it looked like it was spelled A-double-S-A. Go ahead.
You should have seen me all through school with... Anyway, never mind. My question is to you, what do you think of Obama and Leon Panetta's latest takeover? First of all, surrendering our nation to the United Nations. And second of all, he's got a whole bunch of stuff he printed out yesterday, I think. What he calls emergency ability to take over everything else.
I guess here's my take on it. There's always this extreme alarmism, interpreting, you know, any move as taking over the country. I don't really think that he's planning to do that. I don't think he has the means to do that.
You better find out what that thing said.
Asa, I have read it. I have read it, and it's interpreted.
You have read it.
Yeah, I've read it.
And what do you think of it?
I'm just told you. I don't think it is going to be used or extended to that purpose. I don't like it, but I'm telling you, I don't.
Will you stand in my door and defend me when the police come to take my food?
All right, Asa, if you believe that, there's not much I can do to help you. Because if
you read it. Well, it's on paper issued by the government.
Asa. I can get you stuff on paper that'll say you're going to be robbed in 30 minutes from now if you walk downtown. There are people who believe
that. Yeah, but that wouldn't frighten me. I'd only be robbed by one person.
All right, Asa. I can't help you, but if you really believe all this stuff, just because it's on...
I don't know why I asked you what you believe. I'm not finding out, so I don't know what to believe.
Well, I'm afraid you're going to have to believe what you want, because I've told you what I believe and doesn't buy you anything. Now, look, if you believe all this stuff you read on the Internet, which is 90% is a bunch of crap.
I don't even have an Internet. I don't even have a cell phone.
But that's where it came from. It gets printed out and sent to you from there. Then, look, what you want to practice doing is just practice putting your head down between your knees and kiss your little old butt, goodbye, because there's no other salvation for you, all right? All right, take care. Now, I'll give you a proposal I want to try out on some of you, and let's hear some of your comments. In the meantime, I'm still waiting to hear from these students at the University of California, Santa Cruz, who want to demonstrate against the university elsewhere. If they really want to get the money back in the university, bring their tuition down, I'll tell them what to do, but they've got to listen. If they don't want to learn, hey, you just look like a bunch of suckers, you students. You really do. You get led around like a bunch of dumb sheep. One organizer here tells you to sit down and demonstrate here. Another one tells you to go there. You went halfway when you took my suggestion, went to Sacramento instead of the steps of your own university. But again, you didn't know how to pin them down up there. You have to smoke them out of their hideouts up there because they laugh at you again. If you don't know where they're hiding the money and to tell them specifically cut this budget, they laugh at you. Well, if you come in here, I'll start telling you some of it. In the meantime, here's my proposal. I think the biggest thing that would help this economy, our country, preserve our freedoms, would to have a constitutional amendment, or at least the agreement of Congress, that every regulation imposed on people or companies or individuals or institutions in this country must be reapproved every 2 years by the Congress of the United States. That means out of the tens of thousands of regulations that idiot bureaucrats have cooked up to justify their fat butts on the payroll, like your NOAA operation here taking over your whole Monterey Bay area and in the country, that their regulations would have to be specifically approved again by the people you voted to go to Congress to represent you, to make the laws. That way, if there is a stupid regulation, a belligerent one, one totally unnecessary, it's only hurting people, working people in the economy, you can put a name on the guy who approved that in Congress. This is what they dodge. This is what they have built a system to avoid for the last 100 years. They invent agencies like NOAA or the IRS or anything else, and then they give these agencies power to make laws that are never voted on. They're never responsible for them. Think about it a minute, what it would mean. It would mean immediately that all the dumb regulations in your area right here in the Monterey Bay area for why you can't walk on the beach here, you can't fish there, every one of those would have to be approved every 2 years. Your local congressman couldn't come on the air here and elsewhere and dodge the issue and say it's out of his hands, you see. He would have to own up the fact that he voted to approve these regulations when he came into office, and every 2 years thereafter when they go into office again. Tell me what you think about that, because I can tell you some of the mechanics, some of the things that would really disrupt the cancerous bureaucracy we have now. That one approach, more than anything, would cut down the senseless, abusive regulation that is killing the economy and millions of jobs in this country. All right, Joe and Salinas, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Yes, and you would also not always be fighting a rear guard battle.
That's right.
You would force them to defend their own actions.
You darn right. They would have to defend what they're doing publicly and get the approval of Congress, and you could vote the congressman out if they dared to reapprove these things, okay?
Well, that's going to be tough to get the great saver of the sanctuary called the Monterey Bay out.
Oh, but, look, it's going to be very tough because the congressmen, all of Congress and the White House, they'll all run from height. But if there's anything that should be organized in this country as a constitutional amendment over their heads, people have a right to petition, the states have a right to demand it. If there's anything that ought to be a constitutional amendment, it's this one thing that says, we will restore the Congress of the United States. You will be responsible as the elected officials for any and all regulations or burdens that are put on the backs of working citizens and families and companies, okay?
They ought to be held personally financially responsible.
Well, we could go to that, too. But at least you could hold them responsible at the ballot box. If there's any constitutional amendment that ought to be moved, that we ought to organize, this is it. And I'm going to start pushing this on national radio, on the open line to America, unless people can tell me what's wrong with it. So, anyway, you had a proposal of your own, I think, here, didn't you, Joe?
You know, part of this state deficit problem that we've got, and maybe more specifically how it affects the university system, allowing the students of illegal, the children of illegal aliens to get the in-state rate when they go to the universities, I mean, has to have a tremendously huge impact.
Well, it does if it weren't the case that maybe they even get it free while children of students here, children of citizens don't get these. That's what bothers me. Are they all paying tuition as much as working families who are citizens have to pay tuition? Yeah, that's my question, isn't it?
So it's even worse than getting the in-state rate. They're getting subsidized rate.
I don't know to what degree, but in some places they do. Yes, they do. So, all right, good question. Thanks for calling here, Joe. Let's get Tony in Aptos in. You're on KSCO Santa Cruz. Tony.
Hey, Dr. Bill. It's Tony. Hey, I have a question for you. Have you ever thought about running for office? Because if you did, I would vote for you.
Hey, I've been asked to run for office 6 times a year for the last 40 years, and I will tell you something. I'm the last guy in the world that'll ever be a politician and have to lie to get things done, all right?
Well, that's exactly why we need a person like you, a person who's like a pit bull who's going to go after us.
Well, hey, if you want to see it, you want to see a circus. The minute the politicians and the spin doctors got a hold of my past and all the goodies I've been in, you'd see some real fun on the Internet, you know, or over the airways, yeah.
Well, hey, in case you ever do, you got my vote, brother.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay.
But I've probably made mistakes you never even dreamed of yet, okay?
Who hasn't?
All
who
right.
Hasn't?
Okay. Right. All right, Tony, what do you do for a living in this area? Oh, we lost him there. All right. Well, that means there's some more lines open for you here at 831-479-1080. Come along, load them up. Another 15, 20 minutes to go this hour, full hour the next hour. But don't wait until the next hour. Invariably, there are a dozen people left behind. Get in here early. And as always, I'll bet you've got things that are fun to talk about.
Who would you hold up to be a hero of our community? Well, you can. Hello, I'm Camilla Balutian of the Santa Cruz chapter of the American Red Cross. We are accepting your nominations for the Red Cross 2012 Award, which will be awarded at our Heroes Breakfast on May 16th. Nominees for the Hero Award must have performed an act or acts of courage to save or attempt to save a life in 2010 or 2011. All nominees must work or reside in Santa Cruz County, though their heroic acts may have occurred elsewhere. We invite you to nominate a hero for one of the following categories: animal rescue, education, good Samaritan, law enforcement, lifetime achievement, medical professional, military rescue, workplace, and youth. To nominate your hero, go to thesantacruzredcross.org. That's santacruzredcross.org. For more information, call 462-2881, 462-2881.
If you or a loved one is experiencing back pain, Dominican Hospital would like to invite you to a free back and spine seminar to learn more about this topic. The free seminar will be held Wednesday, March 21st from 5:30 p.m. until 7 p.m. Speakers will include physicians and healthcare professionals. No registration is necessary. Just come to the Dominican Education Center located behind the hospital at 1555 Soquel Drive. And you can learn more at DominicanFacts.com.
Welcome to Automated Computer Services, America's most drawn-out tech support line. One moment, please.
At any time during this recording, you may press the 5 key, should you feel so inclined. Press 1 for Spanish, 2 for Bushman, 4 for a remote dialect in Peru, 5 for English, 6. If you know your party's extension, please wait for your opportunity to dial it. If you'd like to speak with a human, you've called the wrong number. If you've reached this message after hours, please return to the secondary main sub-menu by pressing the pound key 7 times, followed by the 8 key. If you feel you've reached this recording in error, we wish you better luck next time.
Tired of unfriendly computer support? If you're having a computer problem, call the friendly computer experts at User Friendly Computing. Viruses, spyware, no problem. We take care of all your PC, Macintosh, and laptop needs. Visit us today at 505 River Street on the way to downtown Santa Cruz, across from Gateway Plaza. Call us today at 423-9653. User Friendly Computing.
Hi, Jacoby here, host of Raising the Standards, right here on KSCO Saturdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Tune in and join me, Rachel, my co-host, our buddy Rick, and some of the most interesting folks in the world as we chat and play the best music on the planet. And remember, if at some point during the program you're not offended, well, you're just not listening. Raising the Standards, Saturdays here on KSCO, 3 to 5.
KSCO presents. I'm Bill Wattenberg. You're the stars of this program. A few lines coming in here now. I'm just really surprised that more of you don't jump on it immediately. When you have a chance to talk to as many as a million out there within this coverage of this signal, well, this signal really covers more than 2 million. Hundreds of thousands out there tuning in and out, waiting to hear from you. Now, how many people can you influence in your life? You know something? With one call, you can bend more ears and influence more people than you'll ever meet in the rest of your life. That's the power of talk radio. And where are these students who were so sincere about cutting their tuition, angry that it's been increased, they were going to punish the university, finally got half smart, went to Sacramento, and don't even bother to call about how to do the rest of the job, how to really pin these cats down where they're wasting billions of dollars in Sacramento? Where are they? You know, I know some of the organizers in Berkeley and elsewhere. They just love to have a rumble. They just love to get a flock of students out there to protest something and get a little glory, get on television, get their name in the paper. And they don't care whether they're shooting their own big toe off or hurting the university. They won't put out the energy, these normal organizers, to go up to Sacramento and go after the culprits and get the money. They won't put out that energy. And I'll tell you, if you don't use this radio station to do some of that, you'll prove you're really a bunch of flakes, okay? Let's see, who do we have next here? Is it Rob in Tennessee, it looks like? Tennessee, are you listening on the Internet, obviously, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, great. I must have grabbed you on a Sunday night on the national show, huh?
Well, I kind of have discovered this show on TuneIn Radio, so it's kind of nice to have access to it.
Well, you and tens of thousands of others, you know, the owner of the station, I feel sorry for him, he can't keep up with buying equipment to keep the stream going for all the new people on there. At times he can't even get on to listen on the internet himself if he doesn't get in quickly.
I have heard it's gotten expensive to do that, so.
Yeah, well, he's doing it as fast as he can. Anyway, love to have you, Rob. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I hear you talk about fracking for natural gas, and, you know, I think it's exciting to know that energy is out there, but I guess I'm one of a bunch of people who have some concerns about that, and I thought maybe with your expertise you
could... Well, tell me your concerns specifically.
Well,
which ones?
Know, obviously we hear about, you know, we see the worst case scenarios of somebody that's lights
Rob,
a cigarette near their
Rob, please, we're going nowhere. What are we talking about? Put a name on it. One word. What is it?
Environmental impact.
Fracking. In other words, you're talking specifically about the environmental impact, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now is it drilling in? Now look, I got to narrow you down. Is it drilling in general? Is it fracking alone? Tell me which one.
Just the process, whatever processes are used to extract natural gas, just what assurance.
Well, Rob, what you're doing then is you're telling me you're concerned about the general practice has been around for 50 to 100 years, over 100 years for oil, 50 years for natural gas. And the fracking process that suddenly opened up a lot, none other than the top scientists of this country just issued a report last week that all the great environmental scare stories you read about were fraudulent. No basis to most of them. They went to the area in western Pennsylvania where the New York Times story focused, and they found no evidence of invasion in the waters, aquifers, of contaminants from this, with the exception of a couple that were known ahead of time.
Okay.
Now, Rob, you must understand, when you go around the world, you say a little bit of oil comes up here, a little bit of gas, that's destroying the environment. The biggest leakage of oil in the world, Rob, is in the oceans. Hundreds of thousands of barrels a day naturally seep. Tens of thousands, excuse me, naturally seep up from the oceans. That's why you find oil balls on the beaches of Long Beach long before man came around. The Indians used to pick them up and use them in their fires. Okay?
Okay.
Natural gas seeps out everywhere. Okay? Now, if you do careful drilling to the standards that should be done, and most do it, you don't allow any additional leakage. In fact, you're stupid if you do, because you lose the product that you're trying to bring up. See? Leakage happens in a well. And I've been a lot of time in the well drilling business. Go to my webpage, drbill.us, and you can read about the time I spent developing downhole directional drilling tools. Okay? But I can tell you this. As you drill down, it's the same as a water well. You case the well so that the material on the sides can't come into the well, or what you have can't go back out, you see?
Right.
If you do that properly, you have no problem. You don't do anything that nature isn't doing. I mean, you do a better job than nature.
If that's true, if it's done properly, and I guess my concern then, you know, boiling it down, is are all of the people, are all of the companies that are going to do this going to be responsible, and if not, what's the consequence?
Well, it's the age-old question. Is every car driver out there responsible? Do you think you have no risk? 1 out of 12 is asleep or drunk, huh?
Yeah.
All right, the big oil companies, you bet they are, and they're up in arms over this because they get sued for umpteen billions if they don't take care. Look at what BP did with the mistake that was made on that one well. That was 1 out of thousands of wells, by the way.
Right.
But nevertheless, look what it cost them. It's, you know, going to be the $30, $40 billion before it's over with. And the same thing, the outfit in western Pennsylvania that was featured in a spectacular New York Times story, and by the way, you bet they'll never retract any of it, was a small drilling outfit cutting corners, and they weren't contaminating the water down below in the well. They were simply letting the fluids they brought up spill out on the ground when they should have collected them and cleaned them up. That's all. That's what that was about. But what they did is the New York Times cats did your typical yellow, you know, cheap journalism. They went over and found a guy who had a water faucet that had natural gas coming out of it. Do you remember those alarming pictures?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Now let me tell you something. The scientific report just issued 2 weeks ago points out that was there long before they were, before there was any fracking. That you can find all over the world, Rob.
Okay.
It happens naturally. You have a gas deposit down deep in the ground. Above that is an aquifer of water, okay? The natural gas leaks up and bubbles in the water. You've seen soda pop with carbon dioxide in it, haven't you? Carbonated soda?
Sure.
Well, you get carbonated water, only it's not carbonated. It's got natural gas in it. So when you drill a well down in there and you take the water up, out bubbles some gas. Turns out that was there before there was ever any drilling with fracking process, okay? Now, do you feel, you know, a lot of people ought to feel very cheated and incensed over two-bit journalists making a spectacular story published in the New York Times that made the world believe that this is typical of the fracking process and the whole world's going to be destroyed, see?
Sure. Well, I didn't think it was typical. I just figured they picked the worst case scenario. Here's a bad example of what can happen, and it sounds like you have corrected the fact that that's probably
over. Well, look, I can tell you this, Rob, I can tell you this directly. Shell, Exxon, BP, all of them have declared in every way possible they don't allow drilling that can possibly let this do. But there will be a mistake, and when there is, they'll pay out millions to fix it. Same way that an airliner goes down once in a while, right?
Yeah.
But we don't stop all airline traffic, do we?
No.
Somebody has to pay for it. Somebody has to find the fault. Somebody has to try to fix it. That's the real world. But, you know, if anything else, the President of the United States in his State of the Union message made the comment right to the country, the fracking process is nothing new. In fact, he bragged that it was developed by the U.S. government and the U.S. Department of Energy. Years, decades ago. So there's the whole story. And look,
right.
anybody can abuse anything. And all you can do is catch them and wrap their knuckles for it, make them pay for
right.
it, huh?
That's right. When there's big money involved, they certainly will.
Well, big money, but there's big money in what they have to pay out. The bigger you are, the more they sue you for, isn't it? Huh?
Yeah.
The more
yeah,
lawyers
true.
You have on your back in a hurry, huh? Okay.
Right.
Hey, well, I'm delighted you called. And stay tuned now. I broadcast to you out there live all over the country Sunday nights, 8 p.m. to 11. That would be, you're in Eastern time, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, that would be 11 to 2 on the Open Line to America. I hope we get you joined in there, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Michael and Hollister, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Thank you. I was wanting to comment on your idea to have a sunset date on all the bills that are passed of 2 years.
You bet.
Several years ago, I worked with a lobbying group that worked with small businesses in Sacramento and Washington, D.C., and that was brought up. And I was told that most bills have like a five-year sunset date already included in them, and the problem was that they didn't have the staff to review which ones were up for review and which ones weren't.
Oh, but here's the gimmick. Here's the gimmick they play. They automatically get renewed all the time. Go show me some real regulations that are controlling your life that the buggers ever stopped, huh?
The only point is that it's already there and they ignore it. They disregard that it is supposed to.
Well, it's not quite that. They would get called legally in most cases. No, they have a way around it. They simply get it.
Right.
They simply renew it themselves and go on.
Exactly.
But here's the problem. On every one of those regulations that is imposed on your life, and I can tell you, there are regulations, particularly from those who call themselves your environmental protectors, that if you walked out of your house, wherever you are, and stepped on the lawn, you could be cited for existing regulations right now. You know why? Because a blubber butt with a badge on one of these bureaucracies like NOAA could claim that you stepped on an endangered either weed or insect. See?
Yeah.
He could claim that. Now, you have to go to federal court to clear that. They'll intimidate you with $500, $2,500 fines if you dare oppose what we want. This is how they abuse the public for hundreds of millions of dollars. And there's going to be big testimony coming in Congress over this crap. I guarantee you.
So getting back to the sunsetting, is there a way that as a voter we could have someone who would be, let's say, on our side on this?
I want to tell you the truth quickly. You don't even have to bother elaborating on it. I'll tell you reality. No, with rare exception. There are a few outfits that can actually do what's necessary to challenge this stuff, that is to go into federal court. One of them is called the Pacific Legal Foundation in Sacramento. It is one of the few that goes into federal court all the way to the Supreme Court to stop government agencies, catch them doing what you're just saying, and abusing people. And they're totally publicly funded. You have to, if you ever want to make a contribution somewhere for your own rights, if you're worried about this, I've even forgotten, but I champion them all the time. It's pacificlegal.org, PACIFICLEGAL.org, legal, Pacific Legal. Take a look at, they're battling some Supreme Court cases right now to protect ordinary citizens abused by the Coastal Commission, the EPA. But these government agencies are mafia organizations.
When it comes down to having laws made that have a two-year, five-year sunset or renewal date on them, is it possible when the law is being created that, you know how they tack on the so-called pork belly?
So yes. Okay, what's your question?
What? Money for trees that a politician could tack on the sunset amendment to that law?
You can put it on any law, but that's usually beaten down. I'm just trying to tell you, look around at reality. How many regulations imposed on you literally lapse after 10?
So then how do we get enforced?
Okay, what I'm proposing.
That's one of those things where if the politicians do it and they get beat down, you know, then we're sort of at a loss.
Let me repeat again what I think is necessary. Other than someone like the Pacific Legal Foundation fighting one or two or three or four, 10 cases at a time when they're 10 million, we need to start a grassroots movement, and this is what I'm proposing. We want a constitutional amendment. We want this stated in the Constitution that any and all regulations imposed on citizens of the United States shall be approved every 2 years by the Congress of the United States. Make them stand up and make it a law, which is the reason you voted for them. See, now, they won't do that without a constitutional amendment. But I'll tell you, if we started here in California. Now, listen a minute, please. Please listen
a
second.
But don't you have to have a constitutional Congress to do that? Doesn't that open up?
No, you go read. If you get a certain number of the states approved, then you can have a constitutional convention. But you can propose an amendment and have it approved by the states, such as was the case on several amendments, you know, limiting the President of the United States. With enough states approving it, it becomes part of the Constitution. Okay? We need a well-written amendment, and we need to start it with a few people right here in California.
Yeah.
And I'm going to propose that. I'm going to put up on the national program and elsewhere SaveTheUSA.org. Okay, I own that, by the way. Never use it. I'm going to put it up. I'm going to put these amendments under there, and maybe we can get the ball rolling, get a few legislators to approve it. If we can get it through one state, we'll get it through some more, huh?
So can we go there and sign a petition that then you would turn over to a politician?
Yeah, we'll find the mechanism. We'll find out what's the best mechanism to get it approved by the state or on the ballot and go from there,
I love
huh?
We
have to start somewhere, and there's absolutely no better reach than talk radio. If you don't find something wrong with it, that's what I'm telling you. Tell me if you don't like it, see?
So is it possible to do, like, California has the initiative, ballot initiative process where we can circumvent the politicians?
Oh, yes, that's the mechanism in California. On the other hand, the legislature itself can propose a bill and pass it directly if we have enough people after them. So there's several avenues, but I've got to explore them. And by the way, I really appreciate your call here, Michael, and want to hear from you again. We've hit the end of the hour, and I've got to move on.
Enjoyed your conversation.
Hey, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Enjoyed you there. Now, your number for the next hour, 831-479-1080. I'll bet you've got even some better suggestions. Let's hear them here. I'll be right back. This is KSCO Santa Cruz at 1080 on the AM dial everywhere.
You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, 1 p.m. Time for CBS News.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. The Illinois primary is underway today with polls going in suggesting it's about... Let's go live now to CBS's Steve Futterman in Chicago.
And Hartley, the voting's still underway. Those polls you're talking about indicate it should be a good night for Mitt Romney. The GOP frontrunner ahead in virtually all the polls. In many of them, Romney's lead is in double digits. Romney will be here this evening. The ballroom right now being set up for what's expected to be a victory celebration. Rick Santorum, hoping for an upset, has left the state. He will be in Pennsylvania. There are 54 delegates up for grabs, most expected to go to Mitt Romney. Live at Romney headquarters near Chicago, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
People in Mexico City got out of buildings in a hurry when they started shaking side to side. It was a big earthquake centered close to Acapulco, put at magnitude 7.4. There are reports of homes damaged there in the state of Guerrero, though communications capabilities in some areas are still incomplete. People in Texas are cleaning up after a severe storm and some tornado damage.
It is all strong stuff.
Tin roofs ripped from trailer homes, mangled and strewn across the streets and fields, caught in fences.
I had a Toyota pickup parked outside, and it pushed it about 30 yards.
Alfon lost part of his roof.
You know, 2 3/8 pipe bent it over like it was a straw.
Next door, the Faith Tabernacle Full Gospel Church was blown apart.
That's the roof it's laying on. The frames to it are in that man's backyard.
You guys are going to rebuild?
I don't know yet. We're just waiting on God.
Michael Board for CBS News, Divine, Texas.
Federal investigators are looking into the death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida. The neighborhood watch commander says he shot him in self-defense. Martin's family lawyer, Benjamin Crump, scoffs at that.
He had a 9mm gun. Trayvon Martin had a bag of Skittles. Where is the self-defense in that?
A local grand jury is also looking into the incident. It may be a new lead in the mystery of Amelia Earhart. New photo analysis appears to show a landing gear sticking up out of the water of a shallow island reef on Kiribati.
The case is circumstantial. It's a strong case, we think, but it's circumstantial. Finding the airplane would be the thing that would make it conclusive.
Rick Gillespie has spent years trying to find Earhart. Navigator Fred Noonan in that twin-engine Lockheed Electra. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 70 points today. The Nasdaq lost 5. Oil prices 105.61 a barrel. Denver Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning met the media just minutes ago.
I accept great responsibility and being the best player that I could be to help this team win. But I'm gonna use the resources around me because I'm going to need their help. And so it's going to be a team effort. It's the only way this thing can get done.
He's an 11-time Pro Bowler, 4-time MVP. His new best in the NFL contract, 5 years, $90 million. This is CBS News.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
This is chuckle time because most of us are stressed out with worry about the direction of our beloved country. Let's take out a few moments to laugh. My son Lou shared this one with me, and it's called Law Dilemma. A young law student, having failed his law exam, goes up to his crusty old professor, who was renowned for his razor-sharp legal mind. Student: Sir, do you really understand everything about this subject? Professor: Actually, I probably do. Otherwise, I would not be a professor, would I? Student: Okay, so I would like to ask you a question. If you can give me the correct answer, I will accept my mark as it is. If you cannot give me the correct answer, however, you have to give me an A. Okay? The professor agreed, and the student asked him the following question. What is legal but not logical? Logical but not legal. And neither logical nor legal. The professor thought about it for some time and could not answer that question. So finally, he gives up and changes the student's failing mark to an A, as agreed, and the student goes away very pleased. The professor continues to rack his brain over the question all afternoon, but still cannot get the answer. So finally, he calls in a group of his brightest students and tells them he has a really, really tough question to answer. What is legal but not logical? Logical but not legal. And and neither logical nor legal. To the professor's surprise and embarrassment, all the students immediately raised their hands. All right, said the professor, and asked his favorite student to answer. It is quite easy, sir, says the student. You see, you are 75 years old, married to a 30-year-old woman, which is legal but not logical. Your wife has a 22-year-old lover, which is logical but not legal. And your wife's lover failed his exam, but you have just given him an A, which is neither legal nor logical. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Your KSCO Central Coast weather outlook is for partly cloudy skies, some variable high cloudiness. Right now, with highs into the 60s, light winds. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-40s. Southwest winds up to 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light. The boaters forecast for Monterey Bay, north